I'm so glad to be with you this morning and to have the opportunity to stand and bring this message. It's a joy to know and work with your pastor and just to see the gifted leadership that you have here. And Chris, we have attended Highview Baptist Church and would see him up there playing the guitar all the time, and so knew that he was gifted, but didn't know how much. And Lord, wow, I didn't know you could do that. So I just have to say, just a moment of confession, that when I see a couple like that, I have a moment of just being sick and going, God, what in the world? Did you pour all the gifts and not give me anything like that? And so So I know you're thankful to have them, but thank you for leading us this morning. That was a great, great blessing. As we begin this time of worship this morning, and I would just remind you that's what this is that this is a time of worship as we hear from God's Word and as we take it to heart and as we act on it, that's worship. And so we continue. We may not sing for a few minutes, but we continue to praise Him by taking His Word and acting on it. And that's exactly what this is. This is God's Word. And the Bible says that it is living and active and useful for teaching and rebuking, for changing and encouraging. And so we come to this moment with that in mind, asking the Lord to do those things in us. We all come this morning with different things going on in our lives and with good things, bad things, wonderful things, hard things, and so we come to worship, but also to seek to have Him pierce us, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because the Bible says that His Word will do that as well, because it demands a response from us, and here in a few minutes, we will do just that. I will ask you to respond to what it is that God says here, not to what I say. Because what I say is may or may not be helpful to you, but God's Word is always, always good, and it does not return void. And so the question will be, in just a few minutes, how will we respond? Not whether we will respond, but how we will respond. Will we be indifferent? Will we not hear? Or will we ask God to change our lives? And so let's pray with that in mind. Father, I thank You for Your presence here among us this morning. God, for the knowledge that You are real and that Your Word is true. Father, for a time that we've been able to be together, to lift our voices to You, to pray, to give all in recognition of who You are, and what You have done, that You are good. Father, as we approach this time this morning, God, I ask that You would speak and that You would speak loudly and clearly to us. Just as You've done before, and just as I know that until Jesus returns, that You will continue to do. But today, God, I ask that You would help us to leave here in a little while different than we came in. God, that we will go out of this place, scattered to our homes and neighborhoods and workplaces, ready to serve You better for Your glory. We ask this in the strong, strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I know a few of you. I have met some of you. We had the privilege. We were here. Oh, gosh, it's been a... How long have you been here, Ben? Yeah, I mean, so it's been 2 or 3 years ago that we were here and met some of you. And but I don't know the details of your lives, right? You don't know the details of my life. But one thing that I know for sure about every single one of us is that we have good days, right? And we have bad days. We have days that we just hope will never end, and then we have days and maybe weeks or maybe months or for some of us even years that we say, God, this cannot get past fast enough. We have days that we just strive to just survive, it feels like, and to get it past and to make it through. And then other days that we just rejoice, that we walk around singing and happy and full of joy. We have days that are really, really good and days that are really, really bad. All of us do. Every single one. Some people use bad days as an excuse to show out, right? It's an excuse to act however they want to. It's say, hey, and I'm talking about other people, not myself here, naturally. And I do have my kids here, two of my kids here with me this morning, and they're looking at me right now like, yeah, Dad, it's bad to lie in the pulpit. So, okay, so sometimes I do this. Sometimes we use these days as excuse to say some things like, hey, look, you know, I'm just having a bad day today, and we can act however we want. And maybe that's just natural, but for us as believers, for us as followers of Jesus Christ, all of our lives should look different, right? Good days and bad days. Our good days look different because we don't just say, hey, it's a good day, I did something right. We say, hey, it's a good day. Thank you, God, for such a good day. And on bad days, we want to look different because it's natural to react to bad days by being angry or frustrated or disappointed. But our lives are supposed to be unnatural, look different. Now, the purpose of this message is not to make any of us feel bad for having bad days or for responding in less than perfect days. Heaven knows that I don't do that. And I'm glad that Paul, right, who wrote this letter to the Philippians that we're going to read from, I'm glad that he recognized that too, that he wrote in Romans 7 that he often did what he didn't want to do, right? You remember that? He said, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do sometimes. He recognized that there's a battle that takes place in every single one of us between the natural and the unnatural, and that's always going on. But in this passage that we're going to be in today in Philippians chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles, I hope you'll take them and turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to see an example of Paul dealing with really bad days. And in that, we're going to see that there is good news for those bad days. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 18. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, but it's not that different from probably what you are reading, whether that be the New International Version or another. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Paul, of course, here writing. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Paul, of course, here writing to a church that he started. A church that he, first one he started in Europe, and so a church that was very special to him. And in fact, a letter, it's not like all of his letters, because the church at Philippi was generally pretty healthy, had its issues, and you'll talk about those as you look through this book, but generally it was a pretty healthy church. Paul, though, was writing from Rome, where he was in prison, not a good place to be, where he was in jail because of his preaching, because of his teaching. And he had worked his way there, and just not long before this, he had arrived. And as he was coming up the road, Christians came out to meet him. And then he was taken there and put under house arrest. Regardless of how we look at it, those were bad days, right? In jail, in prison, losing his freedom. A Roman citizen, someone with privileges, losing his freedom because of what he believed, because of what he preached. But as we take note of his response, we'll see some things that I think will help us to think about how we ought to respond to bad days. Whether those bad days include prison or not, I hope that's never the case for any of us. Could be, maybe not. But whatever those days are, that we feel like, you know, this is not exactly where I want to be. Those days that we say, this is not the world that I had hoped for or that I anticipated. This is not the way that I thought my job would turn out. This is not how I thought my kids would be. This is not how I thought marriage would be. Or maybe even, this is not exactly what I hoped it would be to be in the church. At These are ways that we can respond that will be good. In this bad time, Paul opened his eyes. He opened his eyes to see several things that we too can see on our bad days and our bad months and our bad years. And I want to walk through those. I want to unpack this passage a little bit and then ask the question, what does it mean to live in light of this truth? First of all, Paul opened his eyes and saw God's overarching purpose in his life. The overarching purpose in his life. You remember when a lawyer came and asked Jesus about the greatest commandments, Jesus responded and he said what? He said the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And he said the second is just like it. He said love your neighbor as yourself. Later on, after he had died and then was resurrected, and as he prepared to ascend to the Father, he said, go and make disciples. Those things guide every single one of us as we think about the purpose of our life. I don't know if you remember, but a big deal for me when I was getting ready to graduate from high school, and my baby girl, Rachel, is here in just a couple of weeks, going to graduate from high school, and she's going to go off to college and you know, fly the coop, all of those sorts of things. And I remember when I was where she was, all I could think about was, what is God's will for my life? And I was trying to figure that out. So what is God's will? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? And then somebody pointed out to me, you know, the first thing you begin with is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor. Make disciples. Be a part of what God is doing around the world. Paul understood that that was the great purpose of his life, was to love God, to love others, to preach Christ, and to help people to grow in faith. We know that Paul saw that as his purpose because in Acts chapter 20, and we won't go there specifically and read, but in Acts chapter 20, he was sharing his testimony, sharing his calling with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he said in verse 24 of Acts 20, he said, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. And here's what he said that ministry was. He said, to testify to the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. Paul understood that the overarching purpose of his life, as he understood it, as he lived it, was to testify to the good news of Jesus. Our purpose really isn't that different, is it? No, not at the heart of our lives. Now, we may have different vocations, right? Doctors, lawyers, working on the line in the factory, farmers, bus drivers, whatever that might be, whatever it is that God takes you to earn your living, to care for your family. Those are all kinds of different routes that we take. But the overarching purpose for every single one of us is the same as it was for Paul. Love God, love neighbors, tell the good news. Paul opened his eyes and he saw that. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He was thinking about that. He was thinking about the gospel, and he opened his eyes to see that. Down at the end of our passage in verse 18, he begins, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Paul opened his eyes to understand what God was doing, even in the midst of his bad days. But Paul also saw that a piece of that was that God chooses the means that he uses to accomplish that purpose in us and through us. And this is maybe where it gets hard for us, right? It's not that hard to think about. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor and make disciples. That makes good sense to us. But then when we think that it is God who chooses how to accomplish that through us, that's when the rubber hits the road just a little bit. Verse 16 there, he says, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Paul understood that he wasn't there by accident, that he wasn't there by just some fluke of fate, that he was put there, right? Not only by the authorities because he had defended the gospel, but for the purpose of the defense of the gospel. Remember how Paul got converted? He was on his way to Damascus, and there was a great light, and he heard the voice of Jesus saying, Paul, what are you doing? Now go and do what I tell you to do. I'm sure that when he heard that, and you know, I'm going to use my imagination just a little bit here. because we don't know for sure. But I feel like surely when he heard that, he had some pretty big dreams. You know, Paul was an important guy, right? He was someone that was rising in leadership in the synagogue and in the Jewish world. And I'm sure that when he heard that, he had some things in mind. Maybe big crusades in stadiums, or maybe a satellite TV ministry. Huge auditoriums filled with people flocking to hear his message. But God said, no, actually it's prison. Prison. Okay. I got that. I'll do prison ministry, Paul says. That'll be good. Prison ministry will be super. I'll go to the great prisons of the world and proclaim to huge crowds of criminals and murderers and all those terrible people that God has sent his son to set them free, and thousands will come, and it'll be amazing. I'll be known as the greatest prison minister in all of history. No, Paul, God says it's you. Actually, in prison. Now, would Paul have seen that at the beginning? No. But from here, he did. And so he opened his eyes to see this overarching purpose in his life, but he also had to open his eyes to see that God chooses the means by which that happens. That probably wasn't exactly Paul's vision early on. It wouldn't be mine either. Would it be yours? No, probably not. Let me be clear here. I don't know that Paul saw that perfectly all the time, every day, right? We shouldn't take Paul and make him into this perfect Christian, right? Because then he'll lose some of that power to speak into our lives that way. His story will. Because in fact, right here in verse 12, we see that he probably didn't see it at first. He says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What that says to me is that at one point, he didn't necessarily see that. Right? As he's in prison, as he's in chains, as he is traveling to Rome, he's probably questioning that some. But now, looking back, as he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he says, all this that has happened to me has actually really served to advance the gospel, as if there is some surprise to that. Trusting the Lord always to do what he is going to do, but maybe sometimes wondering on the bad days. But then he opened his eyes and he saw that God has chosen this means to do what he wants to do. And that takes faith. That takes hope. It leads to a third thing I think Paul saw here. And looking back, as he saw this purpose in his life, as he understood that God had chosen the means to accomplish that purpose, that he also then saw, looking back, the fruit of that means. The fruit of that means that God had chosen to accomplish his purposes. First of all, he says the gospel has advanced. It's moved forward. It's moved out from here. I want you to know it has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known, verse 13 says, throughout the whole imperial guard and then to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. The imperial guard had heard the good news of Jesus because of Paul's imprisonment. And he could look back and see that now. Right? This was an important group of soldiers. They were there guarding the emperor himself. And they were there, historians, smarter people than I, tell me that what happened was is that they would come and they would be chained to him, or at least would be in the room with him two at a time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's a lot of soldiers rotating around there. And every single one of them heard from Paul his testimony of who is Jesus Christ and what has Jesus Christ done for you. Paul talked to them. He shared with them his hope, even in imprisonment. As these guys were looking and saying, what hope do you have? You've confronted the emperor himself, and we know what happens to people like you. Paul would express the hope that he had in Christ, the hope that Jesus never leaves us, nor does he forsake us, that God is working all things together for good to those who love him. Hope that was based on the gospel. Hope that was based on the good news that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news that Jesus had taken our rebellion against God, our sin, and he had wiped it clean for those who believe. Hope that by his resurrection, Jesus had defeated death and hell and fear, giving life to his people. Life that can't be taken away by an emperor's sword or anything else that they might throw at him. Paul told, and he told, and he told and he told, to the point that he could look back and say, this imprisonment has served to advance the gospel to the point that even the whole imperial guard has heard and knows that my imprisonment is for Christ. God had accomplished his purposes through Paul. And while he was even chained under these guards, they heard his hope. But that's not all. That's not all that he was able to look back and see. In verse 14, it says, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's testimony had given these other believers in Rome who lived in some fear of the emperor. I mean, after all, they were right there in his home territory. They had lived in that fear, and he had given them boldness because of his imprisonment. The witness of the church had multiplied. Paul maybe looked at that and said, you know what? I realize now that I am one man, and I could only have told so many people, but because of my imprisonment, people have become more courageous, have become more bold, and so more people have heard, and the gospel has advanced. Paul says this has served to move the gospel out and forward and into the lives of people, and Paul says, and in that, I rejoice. In that, I find joy. And one of the most important themes of Philippians is that it is joy. And Paul says here that even in my circumstances, even on my bad, bad day, I am rejoicing because God's purposes are being accomplished. Just another note on this. The second part of this passage is that prison was not the only adversity that Paul was facing, was it? He had these other Christians, these people that were speaking against him. Verse 15 says, some here are indeed preaching Christ from envy and rivalry, but others are preaching from goodwill. Those preaching from goodwill do it out of love, knowing that I'm here for the defense of the gospel. But those preaching from envy and rivalry, they proclaim Christ out of that, not sincerely, but thinking to do what? To afflict me in my imprisonment. Paul here is talking about Christians, he's not talking about heretics or people that were preaching a false gospel. He's talking about people that are proclaiming Christ, but their motivation was to hurt him. Their motivation was to cause conflict, to put him down. People wanted to make Paul's really bad day even worse. Hard to tolerate those people, but Paul was able to look at that and see it's not all about me. Don't miss that. Paul was able to look at what was going on and consider all the purposes of his life and how God had chosen to work out those purposes and say, you know what? It's not all about me. I will even rejoice in the people that don't like me preaching the gospel. That is important for us to see. He says, Christ is preached and I will rejoice. So Paul was having bad days. The circumstances of his days didn't ruin him or drive him away from his calling, right? If he ever thought about, man, this isn't worth it, I'm going to quit. This isn't worth it, I'm going to go to truck driving school or dental hygienist school or wherever it is. He says, this is not going to drive me away from my calling to love God and to love my neighbor and to make disciples. He says, I understand God's purposes. I know that God chooses the means by which he does this, and he responds with joy, even on the really bad days. So what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for us to live in light of this? I mean, after all, this is Paul's story, and he was special, right? He was special. Paul had something that we don't have. Nope, not true. You know what Paul had? He had the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that you and I have that same Holy Spirit. Paul had the Word. We have the Word. Paul had calling. We have calling. Paul had power. We have power to live in a way that is different from the world. And so what do we see here? How can we live in light? How can we be what we ought to be? How can we be different from the world on the really bad days? Paul says, first of all, he says, have hope. I think that's the first thing that we see here with Paul is that he had hope. He took hold of the good news that Jesus was who he said that he was, and that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, because that's what hope is, right? Hope is a confident expectation that God is exactly who he has always said that he is, and that he will do what he has said that he will do. That's all that hope is. Is that when God says that I will care for you, that I will never leave you, that I am always with you, that he's going to do that. Good days, bad days. When God says that nobody, believer, can pluck you from my hand, we believe it. Good days and bad days. That is hope. That is hope. If you have difficulty dealing with bad days, ask yourself, where is my hope? Where is my hope resting? Where is my hope laying? Is it in me or in God? What causes bad days for us so often? Again, nobody here, I mean, you know, like I say, we may end up in prison. You may have been in prison. What is it today that causes your bad days? Is it your boss that's making your life miserable? Is it circumstances that are just totally outside your control? It's the government, it's the weather, whatever it is. What is it that's making that? What are you leaning on for that? You're leaning on your own strength, on your own wisdom to be able to connive your way around the boss's rules? What is it that you're leaning on for that? Paul struggled, we know that. But he hoped in Jesus on the bad days. He took the opportunity to look and see and understand. So have hope. That's number one. Number two, walk in that hope. Walk in that hope. Live in that hope. If that is a confident expectation that God is who he says he is, walk in that. What has God promised? What has God promised? God hadn't promised freedom from bad days, has he? There are preachers out there today that and teachers that you can watch on TV or download on the internet or read their books that say, hey, if you'll just have a little more faith, that's all it takes. Everything will be good. Not true. Not true. Paul would say, not true. Christians throughout history, 2,000 years of Christian history, would say, no, not true. Hebrews 12, people lived in faith, right? And it says that they got their dead back and they had all these wonderful things to happen, and then some of them got sawn in two. Bad day. Bad day. God's promises aren't that they will all be good days. God's promise is that he is with us in bad days. God's promise is his presence in those bad days. God's promise is fruit from those bad days. Walk in hope. Walk in hope. Third thing I take from this passage is look for God in every circumstance. Look for God on good days, knowing that all good things come from him. But also on bad days, asking, looking around, how is God working on those bad days? How, for Paul, it was prison, right? But he was able to look and see that the gospel was advancing. If you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad week, if you're having a bad month, what can you see that God is doing? Growing you closer to him? Is he building your hope? Is he building your faith? What is it that he is doing? Paul didn't look at the world like everyone was out to get him, right? Or that he had to be on top. That's that deal with those preachers that were trying to afflict him. He's like, hey, you know what? I don't have to be on top. I don't have to be the glory boy. I don't have to be the one that gets all the recognition as long as Christ is preached. And that is a powerful word for us as we face bad days, as we face those around us that tend to make our life hard. That manipulate, that lift themselves up, that try to push you down. It says, Paul says, we look at the example of Paul here, don't fret. Just don't fret. Press on. Walk in the hope that is in you. And then look for opportunities to share that hope. Paul couldn't have said these things about all that God was doing through his imprisonment if he hadn't shared the hope that was in him. People around you see your bad days. They see them, don't they? Maybe they hear about them from you. I'm a little bit bad about whining on my bad days. I tend to do that pretty freely. So people see you. That's what happens here in verse 14. That's why people became confident, not because Paul was whining, because he was faithfully continuing on, being all that God called him to be, and doing all that God had called him to do. The brothers saw Paul's circumstance. They saw his response, and they became more bold. not only the brothers, but the people around you who don't necessarily have the same hope that you do. They see your circumstance. You ever had that happen? They see your circumstance and somebody says, I don't know how you're doing it. How have you lived through the loss of a child? How have you lived through the death of your parents? How have you made it through a fire that destroyed your home? How have you dealt with a flood or the difficulty or whatever it is that's given you bad days? And people look and they say, how can you respond to that with joy? And you say, let me tell you exactly how I can respond to that with joy. It's because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. It's because I have hope. The world needs to hear that. A lot of people in the world having bad days. People all around you. And they need to hear about hope. Your bad day is your opportunity to show that. Paul's bad days were his opportunity to say to those guards as his hands were chained and as he was suffering and looking ahead to possible, well, in the end, execution. To say, it's okay. God's got it. He's my Savior. There's eternity waiting. If you're having bad days, if you're in the midst of a hard time, this is a word for you. If you're not having a bad day right now, you know you will. This is a word for you. Have hope. Have hope. Have hope. Walk in hope, and share that hope. That's what Paul did here. As he told this church at Philippi, yeah, I know you've heard I'm having a bad day. I know you've heard I'm having a bad time. But it's okay. God's got it, and God is doing wonderful things. Our opportunity to respond today is to that. You having a bad day? Having a bad week? Pain is flaring up. Kids are going crazy. Work is not good or non-existent. How are you responding? How do you want to respond? Having a great day? Man, I'm glad. I am so glad things are going well. How are you responding that'll prepare you for the bad days and prepare the people around you for the bad days? God's called us today through this word is, first of all, to have hope. Maybe this morning you've been hearing and hearing and hearing as Ben and others preach the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that he took your sin, he took your rebellion upon himself and took care of it. And if you will believe, if you will follow him, if you will turn away from your idols and your sin and follow him, that you will be made new. Maybe you've been hearing that and hearing that and hearing that. And today, on this bad day or on this good day, you say, today's the day I need to do that. Please don't leave here this morning without taking care of that. Please don't head toward another bad day or another good day without having that dealt with. Whoever you are, wherever you've been, Christ is enough. And he is ready to do for you what he's done for me, for your pastor, for many others around you. Maybe this morning you say, man, I've had some bad days. Jeff, I've had some really, really bad days. And I want to ask God to build my hope. I would love here in a minute when we sing to pray with you and encourage you. Maybe today there's something else on your heart, something going on that you just need to take care of. Share with your church family. Share with your pastor. Whatever that is, please, please, please don't leave here today. Don't let another Sunday pass without dealing with that. Is it the end of the world if you leave here without that? Maybe not. But can it make this week? Bad days, mediocre days, good days, better? Because the gospel would be advanced by your obedience? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to sing. In fact, we're going to sing that same song, 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 Reasons that we have to celebrate hope, to have hope on bad days. We're going to sing. Ben is going to be right here. I'll be right down here too. I'd love to pray with you as you respond. So let's stand together and let me pray for you and for us, and then we'll sing. Father God, I thank you for this good day, and we know that it is a gift from you, that your mercies are new today. Your word promises that. I thank you for hope. God, the hope that we can have, the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ, because of what He did, because of who He is, because of the promises that He has made that are good, that are yes, that are complete in Him. Father, I pray that this would be a congregation overflowing with hope that will advance the gospel even on bad days. That you'll be lifted up, that you'll be praised, that you'll be glorified in their hope and in the proclamation of that hope. Speak to us now, God. Move us, change us, so that when we're scattered from here, this will be a different neighborhood and a different city. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.